Whoa, 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 whoa. Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. I am your host, Spencer. And today we're getting into some words. I believe this is the first time that I am ever doing this to my memory. I am breaking up a whole word. The first part is going to be in this episode. The next part is going to be in the next episode. And it's not even like the synonyms are in the next one. The phrases are in the next one. Nope, I'm just stopping at one of the definitions. And we're going to start them up in the next episode. So it's not ideal. But the word form is really, really long. There's so many definitions. Shall I count them for you? Or we can do that later. We'll do that later. But first, before we talk about the word form, we have to talk about the word forkball. This is maybe automatically one of my favorite words now. Forkball. One word, noun from 1936. I was hoping that this would be like a game that you can play, like baseball, basketball, football, golf ball. Wait, we don't call it golf ball. We just call it golf. There should be a game called forkball, and I don't know what exactly it would entail, but there should be a game called forkball. What is a forkball? It is a baseball pitch in which the ball is gripped between the forked index and middle fingers. So you fork your fingers. You've got forked fingers, your fingers got forked, and you put the ball in between them, and you throw it. And what happens with a fork ball? Let's look up what happens with a fork ball, I guess. What's the purpose of forking your fingers? A fork ball is a type of baseball pitch where the ball is held between the index and middle fingers, causing it to slip out of the hand with minimal spin and create a downward tumbling movement toward the plate. This movement is similar to a 12-6 curveball, but with a more knuckleball or slip pitch feel. Oh, they literally, it goes in between the fingers this way. How do I describe this? Your index finger and your middle finger are on basically opposite sides of the ball. Oh, that feels very awkward. I don't think my hands are even big enough to do that. Maybe not everybody can do this one. The pitcher jams the ball deep between their index and middle fingers rather than holding it on the seams like a fastball. This is what the thing says. Released with a wrist snap, forcing the ball to slip out. How can you even aim this? Typically drops sharply as it approaches the plate with a tumble movement. They're usually thrown slower than fastballs. It's a tough pitch for hitters to hit because there's a lack of spin. All right, that was pretty interesting. Go throw some forkballs by jamming the ball in between your fingers. All right, I got to make a sound effect. I'm going to go zip. Now we have the word forked with an ED. This is an adjective from the 13th century. Number one, resembling a fork, especially in having one end divided into two or more branches or points, as in forked. Lightning. The lightning breaks off into little pieces. I don't even know how it does it, but it's like it's trying to find the path from the cloud to the ground, and it takes a lot of different paths. And getting slow motion, extreme slow motion of lightning is very hard because you don't know when or where it's going to be. I do believe the slow-mo guys got some slow motion of lightning. I keep on wanting to call it fireworks. That's a very different thing. But I think it was like, you know, it's semi-slow. They had a good idea. But to get real true slow motion, to actually see it go down and then branch one way and that doesn't work and then it branches another way and that doesn't work and it's finding the place to the ground. yeah, that would be amazing if somebody just happened to get that. I think it's going to be an accident. I don't know. Maybe I should find their video and put it in the show notes. So, forked lightning. It resembles a fork because it branches. Number two, shaped like a fork or having a forked part, as in a forked road. Yes, that is the typical example of something that is forked. Other than forks, I did have a fork yesterday. I didn't actually use it. I think I eat most of my food with spoons, and I use knives here and there. But not a lot of forks, I guess, at least here for my lunches in my office. Forks, forks, forks. Everywhere there's forks. Zip. Now we have, ooh, this is fun. It is forked tongue. Two words. Noun from 1833. This is, okay, intent to mislead or deceive. And this is usually used in the phrase to speak with forked tongue. We are not literally talking about a forked tongue, which a lot of, you know, lizards and herpetological animals have. Snakes and stuff. They got their tongue branches into forks. For some reason, it helps them, probably gives them a little bit more surface area to taste and smell and hear the air. And so this phrase, I guess this probably goes all the way down to the story of Adam and Eve, where the snake was the one who told them he was misleading and deceiving Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. And he was being very tricksy. And so now we got the phrase to speak with forked tongue, to speak as if you are the snake, because we know snakes are always trying to mislead and deceive people. It's a common knowledge. You go to the dictionary for snake and it says they mislead and deceive everybody all the time. All right, so that is the probably the etymologicalness of the forked tongue. But also, obviously, there are these animals with naturally forked tongues, but also people, there are some people in the world who have decided to surgically split the tongue, just the front part of the tongue, or maybe a good chunk of the tongue, because the tongue, I believe, is made up of two muscles. So they basically just cut that area, and it heals up, and then they can have a forked tongue that can do movements like a snake. And how do I feel about this? I have mixed feelings. I don't think I would ever do it, but I also think it's kind of cool and weird. I like the weird stuff, but it is not something that I would do. I don't think I would take my life into that direction. Okay, next, forked tongue. Now we go forklift. One word, noun from 1944. This is a self-propelled machine for hoisting and transporting heavy objects by means of steel fingers inserted under the load. The forklift has two forks basically coming out. Well, they're not two forks. They're two things, and it's like the machine has been forked because it's got the two branches, the two long steel fingers go out and they get under the thing. Maybe they're stuck into the pallet, and then the machine operator goes and it goes and it raises it up, and then they can drive around and put it somewhere else, whatever they got to do. Or they got to take a thing off of a shelf and bring it down to ground level. Oh boy, I got a shoulder neck thing going on and it hurts. But also, if the load that they're picking up is too long, too big, they can get extensions added on, just temporary, big, long steel fingers, not the regular steel fingers. They got real, real long steel fingers that are many, many feet long. I don't even know how long they are. 6 feet, 10 feet, something like that. And they just slip them right on, and then they can pick up something even bigger. Forklift. I was never trained to drive a forklift. I think it would be kind of cool. It'd be kind of cool to drive and use some of those cool machines with the levers and the knobs and the joysticks. Next is fork tender. Two words with a hyphen, adjective from 1973. This is tender enough to be easily pierced or cut with a fork. And what we are talking about is, the example is fork tender filet mignon. I think the pierced part, like, is there meat that sometimes that can't even be pierced with a fork? You can't even stab it? That's pretty tough, and I don't think meat should ever be cooked that way. But it's more of the cutting part. Oh, it is so tender. You can literally cut it with a fork. You don't even need a knife to cut this filet mignon. It is fork tender. I think my belly is fork tender. I'm so tender. You can cut me with a fork. All right. Yeah, you don't want tough meat. You want fork tender meat. Next we have forky. F-O-R-K-Y. Adjective from 1695. The synonym is just forked, which is, you know, like a fork. It's divided. It's got a thing with a forked part, etc. But also, oh, the example is a forky beard. A forky beard. So your beard, maybe some people's beards, when they grow long enough, they got a piece that goes here and a piece that goes there, and they can't help it. And they're like, that's just the way the hair grows. Maybe it's a little wavy, so it just goes in its own separate directions. You could also fork your beard by I don't know, putting gels and creams in it, separating it in some way. You can have a multi-forked beard. Also, the character in Toy Story 4, the new character, I think he was called Forky, and I quite like that. Well, I love the actor, and also, of course, I can't think of his name at the moment. He was in Arrested Development, but also, the character is just like, he's having an existential crisis. He was created, he came into being, he doesn't know what anything in the world is, and so he's very confused about life. And I really appreciated that. Okay, moving on to forlorn. Adjective from before the 12th century. Number 1A, the synonyms are bereft and forsaken, as in left quite forlorn of hope. What does that even mean? Left quite forlorn of hope. Bereft of hope, forsaken of hope, you're sad. That's what it is. Number 1B, sad and lonely because of isolation or desertion, as in, oh, the synonym is desolate, as in a forlorn landscape. That landscape is so sad and lonely because it has been deserted. Maybe it got turned into a desert, or maybe it just is a desert. And so nobody wants to visit the landscape, so the landscape is forlorn. Oh, forlorn Michaels. We got to draw that up. Okay, now we got number 2. Being in poor condition. The synonyms are miserable and wretched, as in forlorn, tumble-down buildings. And tumble-down is another adjective. I assume this is an adjective that I have never heard before. Tumble-down buildings. I assume that a tumble-down building is a building that is so decrepit, so old, has not been taken care of, that it looks like it's going to tumble down. Tumble down. I don't know. It's a funny, funny word. And these buildings look like they're going to tumble down, and they are forlorn because they're in poor condition. They're miserable. They're wretched. What wretched tumble-down buildings? Let's fix them up, or we might just have to tumble them down and rebuild. Number 3 for forlorn. Nearly hopeless, as in a forlorn attempt. Oh, you tried so hard. But it was nearly hopeless. You did it. You succeeded, but you almost didn't make it. Such a forlorn attempt. It was so sad watching that forlorn attempt. A synonym is the word alone. Forlornly is an adverb. Forlornness is a noun. And let's look at the etymology. This is from the Middle English, forlorn. From the Old English, forlioson, which means to lose, which is from the for prefix plus lioson. No idea how to pronounce that, which means to lose. So I don't know how the for changes the meaning. Lose completely, probably. There's more at the word lose. So, yep, just lost. Lost. I'm so lost. I feel so lost walking down the forked road. I don't know what direction to go. It doesn't matter. I'm forlorn. Forlorn. I think I'm going to raise this up a hair. Maybe that's better when I tilt my head back. I don't know. Oh, yes, it's right up in there in the mouth. It's all up. The mic is now in the mouth. Ha! Okay, now we're going to go forlorn hope. Two words. Noun from 1579. Number one, a body of men selected to perform a perilous service. Wow, I was not expecting that, but I guess it makes sense. What are you, sending them on a suicide mission? To perform a perilous service. This is you're doing a good service for your country. It's very perilous to you. There is no hope for you to come back. You are going to be alone and lost and sad like a desert. So the group of men is called the Forlorn Hope. Hmm. Wow. I don't ever want to be in a group called the Forlorn Hope. Maybe that would be an interesting band name, playing some super sad emo music. Blah. Number two, a desperate or extremely difficult enterprise. Yep, you don't have a lot of hope for that one. It's going to be, you might make it, it might succeed, but ooh, it's going to be a tough go. The etymology says, this is by folk etymology from the Dutch word verloren hoop, which literally means lost band. Oh, interesting. That is so fascinating. So their word hoop means band, like a group of people. And also, I think it should be a band. Verloren hoop or forlorn hope. But we translated it into an odd way and just made it hope because it looks and sounds like hoop. Even though that is not a good translation. So hope, I don't know, maybe there's more information, but hope seems like this is unrelated to the original meaning in general. So it's just a lost band. That's very sad. There's a They Might Be Giants song where it's called They Got Lost, and it's about them getting lost on their way to the concert hall. And they got lost, so they were a verloren hoop or a forlorn hope in that moment. Okay, now we are going to go on to our last word. It's the word form. This is the first form of form. This is a noun from the 13th century. The next form will be in the next episode, and a handful of these definitions will be in the next episode as well. I'm going to go up through number 9. Number 9. So let's just real quick count how many definitions there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. This is riveting. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. There will be 23 definitions in this episode. And then we've got 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33 total. there's a lot of A's and B's and 1's and 2's and stuff like that. So lots of sub-definitions. All right, here we go. So form from the 13th century, number 1A. The shape and structure of something as distinguished from its material. So we don't care what the material is. It could be wood, it could be metal, it could be cotton, it could be water. Who cares what the material is? What we are concerned about is its form, its shape and structure. How did you do that with the water? How did you make a sculpture out of water? And what a beautiful shape you made out of water and cotton. 1B is a body, like maybe a person, especially in its external appearance, or as distinguished from the face. And the synonym is figure. So the what is the form of the body? Right now, this is the form of my body, which is quite sexy. So we're not talking about the face. Usually the face is not, the face is not part of the conversation when we're talking about the form of a body. And we're also not talking about the emotions, the mental, the psychoanalytical, the spiritual. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about just the physical form of the body. And this gets used a lot, I think, in like drawing and painting in classes. You want to draw the form. What does it physically look like? Now we got 1C, which is archaic. The synonym is beauty. That's it. Just a beauty. Oh, look at that form. What sort of form is it? Well, it's obviously the synonym is beauty. So that look at that beauty. Is that how you would use it in a sentence? I don't know. Number 2, the essential nature of a thing as distinguished from its matter. That's the first part of the definition. Similar to 1A, we're not talking about what it's made out of. We're talking about the nature of a thing. This is taking it into another level. But we got some sub-definitions. 2A, the synonym is the 1A definition for the word idea. Oh, what form does your idea take? Well, it's probably going to take the form of a movie, because that's where most of my ideas go. Wouldn't it be great to make a movie of this? Wouldn't it be funny if this piece of paper fell in love with that paperclip? Number 2B, the component of a thing that determines its kind. The component of a thing that determines its kind. Well, maybe, would you say that the form of a banana is banana, so it makes it a banana? I feel like I need more context. Number 3A, established method of expression or proceeding, and then also procedure according to rule or rote, R-O-T-E. But also, again, a standard or expectation based on past experience, as in, the synonym is precedent. Like in the law, in the juries, the courts, this like the Supreme Court, there is a precedent set by one thing. So let's say back in the day, they were like, yeah, well, the Supreme Court decided that all animals deserve the right to live and have good lives. And then when a court case comes up later, sort of related to that, they're like, well, we set the precedent. It's the precedent. And so this is a long definition. Established method of expression or proceeding. Procedure according to rule or rote. Also, a standard or expectation based on past experience. That's the one that makes the most sense to me. What's our past say? Well, then this is what that form now should be. The example is, true to form, the champions won again. The champions, they keep on winning all the games. Maybe we shouldn't let them play the games anymore. Maybe we should have them play forkball instead, because they're not very good at forkball. True to form. That is their form. That is their nature. They just keep on winning. 3B. A prescribed and set order of words The synonym is formula. Form. Do you think that's related to formula? As in the form of the marriage service. The form of the marriage service. This is the set order of words. So a lot of people, especially religious people, they have a marriage service. There is certain things that they do in order. They say certain words in that order. And that is the form. It's like a formula. You take some phrases from the Bible and you add in some vows, and then you divide that by the two sides of the church and you subtract Jesus. That's the form. Now, I don't think they're subtracting Jesus. Okay, number four. A printed or typed document with blank spaces for insertion of required or requested information, as in tax forms. Oh, those things are so terrible to fill out. We've been doing the online tax forms. We're not filling them out by hand. We just download a program every year, and you fill out the stuff, and it's, at least for our taxes, they're pretty easy at this point. Just gotta do it. But also, when you go to a doctor of some kind, they say, here, fill out these forms. Please fill out these forms. There are lots of blank spaces for you to put in your answers. We would like to know what your answers are. Have you had any of these diseases or conditions? And you say, yes, I have had all of them, and I'm still okay. And they're like, how is that even possible? That's the medical form. Number 5A1, conduct, right? Conduct regulated by extraneous controls. And an example would be custom or etiquette. So what your custom, your etiquette, how you are behaving in front of people, that is your conduct, and it's regulated by extraneous controls. Something else is controlling it? The synonym is ceremony. And there's no example sentence, so you're putting on a form, you're doing a form, you're doing like a little ceremony in front of the people, how you are conducting yourself. That's your form? 5A2 is show without substance. They're just putting on a show. There's no substance to their personality. All they have is their ability to sing and dance and put on a little show, but there is no substance. Maybe that's the form that I have. I am showy, but I got no substance. 5B, manner or conduct as tested by a prescribed or accepted standard, as in rudeness is simply bad form. You don't want to do that. How rude. Your manner or your conduct as tested by a prescribed or accepted standard. Well, what do the people say is an accepted standard? And is your manner, your conduct, how you present yourself, does it match with the accepted standard of society? Do you even want to match that form? Do you ever say that's good form? I think it's usually used in bad form. Oh, that was such bad form when you punched the old lady in the face. That's bad form. 5C, manner or style of performing or accomplishing according. What is this sentence? I'm losing the. Okay, here we go. Manner or style of performing or accomplishing according to recognized standards of technique. I feel like that was a little bit of a weirdly worded sentence. But the example is a strong swimmer, but weak on form. So they are physically strong, but their form, when they're trying to do the crawl, they're doing it like this, and that's not very good form. Why would you swim that way? Manner or style of performing or accomplishing according, performing or accomplishing. That's how it's supposed to be worded. Manner or style of performing or accomplishing according to recognized standards of technique. everybody's using the same. It's very similar to rudeness being bad form. You can also have bad form in your swimming and your running or something like that. What is the approved standard technique? You're not doing that. You're not doing that correctly. You got to do it the right way. Now, we have 6A. 6A is the resting place or nest of a hare, like a rabbit. Oh, I did not know this. The resting place or nest of a hare is called a form? Okay, now we have 6B, which you would think would be related to the place where a rabbit goes, but it is actually a long seat. A long seat? The synonym is bench. And yes, a bench is a long seat. So you call a bench a form? But now I want to look up form hare. Let's just look up that. Oh, there's a University of Fort Hare? That's different. I wanted the word form. No, I did not mean Fort Hare. The nest? They nest in slight depressions called forms. Why would humans call this thing a form? That's odd. But also we call benches forms? I didn't know this. A bench is a form? A form bench. Is it a kind of bench? A form bench. It's a long seat. Your seat is so long. All right. Anyway, sure. Why not? The dictionary tells me it's true. Now we have 7A. A supporting frame model of the human figure or part, like the torso, that would be a part of the human figure, A supporting frame model of the human figure or part of the human figure, usually used for displaying apparel. We will also call them mannequins. And they have changed these forms, these human forms to display clothes have gotten very interesting over the years. One very good change to them is that we are now seeing different shapes and sizes of these human forms in clothing stores. Shorter, taller, fatter, we don't need skinnier. We already had too many skinny ones. So that's pretty cool. But also, we're getting ones that are in, like, very odd poses, or the women have nipples. These are mannequins that have nipples. And I feel like this is entirely unnecessary. I'm sure that they're, sex sells, but it's like, just why? Why? Why do you need that? You want to see how the clothes will fit on you when your nipples are erect? I don't know. It's odd. So, yes, those are the mannequins displayed. It is funny to see just like a portion of one of a human. Like, oh, it's just part of a body. It feels so disembodied and weird. Now we have 7B, a proportioned and often adjustable model for fitting clothes. Yep, same, similar idea. 7C, a mold in which concrete is placed to set. It's a form of a thing. Whatever you want your concrete to be shaped like, you have to create that form, and then you just pour the concrete in there, and then you've got the concrete in the shape of a donkey. Okay, now we have number 8, the printing type or other matter arranged and secured in a chase ready for printing. I need to remind myself what a chase is, but I can sort of understand it from context. I'm sure that you can too. Where is the word chase? It's right over here. There's a lot of definitions. Oh, and I had a guest on that episode, I guess. Attractive, unclosed nest, steeplechase sequence in a movie. Do we even have furrow, the Canada trench, a channel, iron frame? Oh, here we go. A rectangular steel or iron frame in which letterpress matter is locked. So you put all of your letters for printing into this thing. It's a chase. And then, so the form is the printing type or other matter. The things that you're putting in the chase is the form. Are the form? 9A. One of the different modes of existence, action, or manifestation of a particular thing or substance. And the synonym is kind. Like, what kind of shirt are you wearing? As in the example, one form of respiratory disorder. There are multiple kinds of respiratory disorders, and I want to know what form you have. What form of respiratory disorder you have? I have the bronchitis. Also is in a form of art. There are many kinds of art. What form of art do you do? Well, I take Sharpies and I draw them on people's faces. That's my art, my form of art. 9B. A distinguishable group of organisms. You can distinguish those organisms from other organisms. I can tell the squirrels from the leaves. Those are different forms of organisms, and I am talented and skilled enough where I can tell those different forms from each other. 9C. The synonym is linguistic form. Something about words and language and sentences and maybe grammar. 9D. One of the different aspects a word may take as a result of inflection or change of spelling or pronunciations, as in verbal forms. One of the different aspects a word may take as a result of inflection or change of spelling or pronunciation. Well, here in the dictionary, you know, we've got different forms of words. And this word form is an example of one where we have the noun form and we have the verb form in the next episode. So I think that's partly what this is talking about. But also, if you pronounce it differently, that would be a different form of that word. If you are, what were the other things? Inflection, if you say it in a different way, like I might say form, but then I also might say forum. That would be a different form of form. Now we have 9D. That was 9D. Now we have 9E, the last one. A mathematical expression of a particular type, as in a bilinear form, also a polynomial form. Those could be very similar to formulas. I'm not sure, but maybe. It seems like it would be. And we're going to end it there, because then I will give you the rest of the definitions. There's like 10 more or so. We're going to do those in the next episode. It's just how it falls in the page. I like to do a quarter of a page, and usually it lands pretty easily, pretty nicely. But sometimes you got a big chunk of words right in the middle of the page, and it really gets my goat going. All right, let's pick a word of the episode. We had fork ball, forked tongue, forklift, fork tender, forky, forlorn hope, and form. I'm just going to pick forkball as the word of the episode. Let's go play in forkball. I want to play forkball. You take a ball and you stab it with a fork. It's the forkball. Who can get their fork in a ball? Who can get their fork in a ball? You're not allowed to sharpen your fork. You got to play with the dull fork. How far can we take this? That's enough. That's enough for me today. You can come up with how to play forkball. Do you stab balls with forks? Do you try and throw a ball to land on a fork? Anyway, thank you very much for checking out this show. I don't have another movie to tell you about. That's it. I'm just going to now go do my work day because that's fun. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.